a thriving existence. This was something in which I wished to participate: human flourishing. When happiness experts are queried about one thing an individual can do to contribute to happiness, the answer is often simply to make your bed. It makes some sense intuitively that, in addition to attending to a fellowship and a recovery process involving close relationships with fellow addicts, the structure and conduct of the day is a critical ingredient of recovery. Here you will find a blueprint for, well, getting started. And that is the first step in every day, one day at a time. Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew Pinsky is board certified in internal medicine and addiction medicine. He is the host of Dr. Drew On Call, HLN, Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, Loveline Radio Show, and numerous podcasts, as well as the New York Times best-selling author of The Mirror Effect: How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America, HarperCollins, and Cracked: Putting Broken Lives Together Again, HarperCollins. A note from Anna David. My miracle morning. Live life like it's rigged in your favor. Rumi. Mornings used to be, well, often a time I would miss altogether. It can be challenging to rise before noon, after all. If you stayed up all night, high as a kite the evening before, long enough to hear the birds chirp. Mornings were to be avoided, slept through, and ignored. Mornings were when basic people, those who subscribe to all the world's ridiculous norms, went to work. Imagine my surprise then, when I found recovery and discovered that I not only love mornings, but also that I am a full-fledged morning person. My former party girl self would be horrified to discover that my natural body clock has me asleep by about 10 p.m. and up before 7 a.m. That's a good thing, by the way. Horrifying my former party girl self means I'm doing something right. Mornings are a big topic for those in recovery. One of the first suggestions I got from my outpatient rehab was that I should make my bed first thing in the morning, since it showed both a determination to get out of it as well as a commitment to being a responsible person for the day. Done. Being able to cross an item off a to-do list in roughly 20 seconds does wonders for a person's dopamine. This is also when I learned to pray. The process started like this. My sponsor took me through the 12 steps, and when we got to the one that involved praying, I explained to her that there is no way I could get on my knees and talk to God. I'm Jewish, I explained. She smiled. So am I, she answered. I probably made another excuse. Then she said, I get how uncomfortable this is at first. Why don't you drop your keys on the ground next to your bed, and when you kneel down to get them, talk to God. I actually did that. And I learned that getting down on my knees and praying wasn't the creepy experience I'd imagined it would be. Surprisingly, it felt comforting. And so I've continued to do it every morning without having to drop my keys. But then I went beyond bed making and prayer. For the first 5 years of sobriety, I went to a 7:30 a.m. 12-step meeting Monday through Friday. Then one night about 12 years ago, a friend from the program invited me to a lecture by a Vedic meditation teacher. Vedic meditation is an offshoot of transcendental meditation and involves repeatedly thinking a mantra. Despite the fact that I'd long said I was someone who simply could not meditate, I often told people that my mind was simply too busy. I ended up receiving my mantra that very night. To my utter shock, I committed to the process of meditating every morning and evening for 20 minutes. And I'll never forget what the meditation teacher who gave the talk that night, Tom Knowles, said when people started chiming in about how there was no way they could spare 20 minutes every morning. If you can't spare 20 minutes in the morning to do something that will radically improve your life, he said with the utmost seriousness, you need to change your life. I took